This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 730. I am Lisa Sheps, and finally, I am joined by my amazing, miraculous co-host and tanned co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. You better not go away.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, July 26th, 2023, 130 degrees here in Austin, Texas. On the show today, we have Shoot Productions and their show, Small Steps. Then later, we'll be talking to Stage Presence Players and their show, Gruesome Playground Injuries. And finally, we will speak to Beyond August Productions with their show, God of Carnage. And even all that, we're going to have lively discussions of World of Theater in Austin, New York, Stony Point, Queens, and San Francisco. Don't go away.
Love's a winner. So nobody
loves me.
No, not me.
So I'm guessing you recognize that crooner.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Who is it?
That was Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Tony Bennett, who passed away. We're going to talk about it in a second, but I have to before I talk about Tony Bennett, I have to talk about somebody more important than him to me.
Okay.
That's you.
Oh, stop. This is really just silly.
It's true. It's true. Welcome back. We have missed you so much here on the radio show.
I have missed being with you.
We had a slew of co-hosts that
I know
that did their best to fill your flip-flops.
I think they were splendid.
They were splendid. Not all of them could do a really good Dick Van Dyke step in time.
Step in time.
But they tried their best.
But you do a good one.
And even and last week we had Patty Neff Tiven, which was quite fun.
I love it when Miss Patty comes on.
So so lots of fun things. Welcome back. Are you here for a while?
I'm not.
No, of course not.
I was about to say.
So
I
you
have
were in the Northeast.
Back.
You were in the
mostly
Northeast.
In the Jersey Shore. Uh-huh. Did get a little to Pennsylvania and did get into the city. And I will be back into the city.
Lovely. When are you going? It doesn't matter. We don't have time to talk about it.
No, but I'll have more shows to report since my Back to the Future report.
Lovely. Okay. Let's introduce the folks that were here. We have so many people.
Yes,
here.
It's like a party in here. I feel like it's welcome back.
This is
without Mr. Cotter.
This is pre-pandemic numbers.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
This is
the first time we've had pre-pandemic numbers.
I was about
numbers.
To say I don't think we've had it this big since.
Technically,
we've come
we're
back.
Not allowed to have this many people here. But please,
breaking the rules.
Let's just. Keep
that's who we are.
Let's just keep that between us.
Shh,
do not
secret.
Tell anybody. We have Braxton Ray. Welcome to the show, Braxton.
Hi, thank you.
First
happy
time
to be here.
Rookie here on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Another rookie who I'm surprised to learn is a rookie because I've known for quite a while. Brian Daniel Oglesby.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. We have Dane Parker.
Hello.
We have Trey Deason.
Hi.
And we have Jen Brown.
Hello.
And last but certainly not least, Shannon Grounds. Welcome, you guys.
Hi, thank you.
So
it's a party of people.
You know, we have to talk about Tony Bennett passing. But oddly enough, other than performing on Broadway, his music, he's not really a Broadway performer.
No, but he's a legend.
He's legendary, and
he's
known
left
for,
us with stuff for
he's
centuries
known for
to come.
Singing a lot of show tunes and standards that we just heard from. I chose that song because it was Cantor Neb.
Yeah,
it was who like, you love.
Well, hello, the longest composing American Broadway
there
duo.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know what show was that song from? Anybody?
Oh,
Cabaret, you need to speak right into the microphone if
Cabaret,
you're going to speak.
That's yeah. my single favorite.
Which is
Broadway
coming back
song
to New York.
Of all time.
It is coming back to New York. Yes. I do love Cabaret. There are some detractors that aren't all that fond of cabaret.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's personal problems, and they're allowed to have those.
They don't know anything.
Yeah, people can be wrong.
Tony Bennett, you know, you've heard a lot of press since he passed away, and so he announced that he had Alzheimer's many years ago.
Yes.
And he was affected pretty greatly by Alzheimer's, but he could still sing.
It's except like when he was at the piano.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that stuff would shut down. Now, you had the honor of working with him.
I did. I did when I was a wee publicist in my
WP, we
yes,
call those.
Yes, in the New York City at Rogers & Cowan. He was one of our clients, and I was over in the music department. And thank you, Beth Katch. You let me work on a lot of stuff with him and his album with Diana Krall. And he's just, I don't know, was very special. He also lived in the building over off of Central Park West, like near Columbus Circle right there, above where the whiskey was. And I dated a boy who ran that whiskey.
There you go.
So I was always in there, and I got to see him a lot going in and out there. But just, he was one of the people that you were like, wow, you're nice. I mean, yeah. It could be opposite for other
True.
People. But he was everything you thought he'd be. And then some. He was Tony Bennett.
Well, that is what everybody says. And as you're listening to this, most everybody said that he's a really wonderful man. And that he was asked once what he wanted to be known for. And that's what he said. I want to be known for being a nice guy, basically.
Well, I know him for being a nice guy. So.
No, I wasn't arguing with you.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He accomplished it. I'm saying, go, Tony, go.
Before I go on talking about Tony Bennett, I should say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its staff, or board of directors, but simply my own opinion. And
just
I say
ours
that,
here on the air, because... tell us.
Oh, I say that because I actually didn't know that. Tony Bennett was a lifelong Democrat. He marched in the Civil Rights March in 65.
He did.
Along with Harry Belafonte and Sammy Davis. He was on the campus of St. Jude in Montgomery the night before Martin Luther King was assassinated.
He's one of those people, if you like to read biographies on some people you think you know about but you don't really know about, he's one of those that you keep going, yep. Whoa! Mm-hmm.
He's performed for Nelson Mandela, John F. Kennedy, Bill Clinton, Queen Elizabeth II, amongst others. And
Tony.
All that after losing his heart in San Francisco.
I know. How did he do it?
That's amazing.
I think he left it.
He left it, but he tried to go back and find it. He couldn't. It was lost. So we got to move on. We have very little time. And I actually purposely did not fill my list with lots of things to talk about because we always end up going over time.
We go over and we have a jam-packed show today.
We have a jam-packed show today.
We had lots of
But
people.
We had two Broadway openings, both of which I'm very excited about and have like kind of a connection to.
Yes.
I mean, a very, very, I have to make up the connection. But Here Lies Love opened, and that's...
You and Patty saw it.
We saw it
There's
off
your
Broadway.
Connection.
And I've been, you know, listening. It got in the Did They Like It aggregator. It got 8 thumbs up, 4 middle of the road, and 1 thumbs down. And this is a musical that features Imelda Marcos. And the 1 thumbs down...
Fatboy Slim and David Byrne.
Correct. And
I don't know how I feel about this version of it. Watching a lot of the videos and stuff, it has deterred me a bit.
Well, it's there's too many.
You know how I love it.
There's too many seating options, if you ask me.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to stand there the way it's standing in that because you're just there.
Well, that's kind of
instead of.
Well, you still move. You still move
yeah,
around.
But not
so let's
really.
Tell folks what this show is about. It's about Imelda Marcos specifically. And her rise to fame and her relationships with Ferdinand Marcos and Kino, what's his name, Aquino? I forgot.
Aquino man.
Yeah. Ninoy Aquino, who was assassinated by the Marcos regime. And his wife, Cory Aquino, took over the Philippines.
They have some heavy history there.
Lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Imelda Marcos dated Aquino. Before and spurned him
man.
Or he spurned her, I can't remember which.
Did not end well.
But in the off-Broadway, it was, oh God, I just lost her name. What's her name? Who played?
Leah Salonga.
No, Leah Salonga is in it.
She's in it.
In
now.
This one, but not, yeah.
Ruthie Ann Miles.
Ruthie Ann Miles,
yeah, played. Thank you, because she's doing the
And
other stuff.
The actors playing Marcos and Aquino are the actors that did it off-Broadway. That's Jose Lana and Connor Rickamora. And I have to tell you, when we went to see it off-Broadway, so it is... at the Public, it was in a really small place. You stood throughout the whole thing. The scenery moved around. You had to move with it. But the actors were in and amongst you. And there was a lot of, you know, cameras that were...
And, technology, video,
and there
flashing.
Was a section where, like, Ferdinand Marcos was, like, talking to the audience. And he, like, just talked to me, right to me. And it was such an amazing feeling as an audience member. And I, you know, I'm a... I'm not a good theater goer because I criticize everything, but I totally got absorbed in this. I got what I am jealous of other people of always having, of that ability to just absorb yourself in the story. So I really loved it.
Yes, and the space has turned into like a disco.
Yeah, they've completely changed the theater. Jesse Green of the New York Times did not like it. And I'm not going to go, I'm not going to read the review all the way because we don't have time.
And who cares?
And I want to get to other things. Well, you know, he's a major voice.
I sometimes like him.
Yeah. But one of the things he does say is perhaps the irony of making a musical about that, which was something he said earlier, is more viscerally appreciable down on the dance floor, which is true. When I went to see it, I think there were only like 20 seats where people could actually sit down. Everybody's like had to stand.
Yeah.
And I am...
There's a good amount standing. I was surprised by how much standing. But this
still a
the
lot
stage
of
is small. I don't know. And it seemed like the orchestrations changed, but I was
well,
not
vibing
on it.
Well, the orchestrations did change. We did talk about that.
Yeah, I know. But like... I just was not vibing on it, and you know how much I've been obsessed with this musical from
conception. But
what's
interesting about that, and I'll say this to other people, I remember there was a show in New York called De La Guarda.
Loved it!
Loved it.
Loved it!
Well, but I didn't go for about 2 or 3 years because you have to stand, and I don't stand. I just don't do it. And then I was taking a
I wish the video
client.
Was working. That was fantastic.
I was taking a client there, and so I had to go, and I went, oh, my God, it's amazing. So this fear of standing, especially in these immersive shows, get over it.
That's not my aversion to the...
Yeah, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah,
I'm
but I'm just saying, like, speaking. It's just, I'm not gelling with this version. That's just me.
All right, Here Lies Love. I say go see it. Music is fun. The storyline is fun. One of the things that Jesse said... I just lost his last name,
Green.
Which I guess is a good thing. Jesse Green said was that there were no stakes in this. It never really got to a point where there were stakes. Everything was kind of milquetoast. So you're really only going
to
enjoy the show and listen to the music, which is amazing. I don't know if I agree with that based on the version that I saw. I did not see the Broadway. The other opening is a show that we talked about here on the program called The Cottage. And it is directed by Jason Alexander.
There's your other connection.
That's the connection.
Yeah.
It stars Laura Bel Bundy, Lily Cooper, Eric McCormick, Nihal Joshi, Alex Moffat in his Broadway debut, and Dana Steinhold.
It's a crazy cast.
It is a crazy cast.
That I wouldn't
cast.
Have thought of all putting together, but kind of sound fantastic together.
It got, talk about perfect middle of the road reviews. It got 5 thumbs up. 5 thumb down and 2 right in the middle. Surprise, Jesse Green didn't like it. but he called it. So this is a farce by Sandy Rustin, and his complaint was that it wasn't farcical enough. Again, no stakes. They said, you know, when you have a farce, it's all about doors. And the problem with these doors is nobody is locked in. Anybody can leave at any time. And yet nobody does. he calls it Jason Alexander's trick-filled production. And it says, but to suggest something is not to achieve it. And though The Cottage operates like a farce, it only rarely achieves farce liftoff. So he liked the cast. And he says it's more of a spoof than a farce. But it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Other critics. Yeah, I know that's what you're wondering about. Yes.
So
specific.
Yes, yeah. Brittany Samuels of the Broadway News says, laughter is the hook, and the director, Jason Alexander, knows how to cull it. Alexander's intimate familiarity with the machinery of an ensemble comedy, its snappy timing and collegial pace, lends a hand here. Chris Jones of the New York Daily News says, some will be tickled pink by the cottage and thrilled to the très autre and highly skilled comic stylings of Laura Bell Bundy, Eric McCormack, Alex Moffat, Nihal Joshi, and Lily Cooper. And finally, Time Out New York's Adam Feldman said, Sandy Rustin's The Cottage has no pretensions to seriousness. It's brazenly straightforward drawing room farce created for light amusement and delivers on a platter by a properly silly cast of six. Properly silly cast was my sorority name in college.
Silly cast.
So based on that, anybody want to go see it? I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, Channing Grounds. What? Nodding and shrugging doesn't play on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot. Not a pro like you.
No, I just throw everything out through the mouth, which is another problem.
If I got a free ticket, I'll see it.
Okay. Well, I can arrange
ticket to New York, too.
Oh, can't arrange that. Couple of other quick things before we run is very quickly, New York is ending its run.
I know, this weekend.
Early, yeah. Way early. They announced it and
like,
then it closes.
Way
that doesn't usually happen.
Early.
So.
And not with a lot of time before it's happening.
Right. Yeah.
It's a double whammy.
So it will have run 33 previews and 110 regular performances.
Wow.
It is. Well, especially since it did so well at the Tonys.
I know.
I want to see it. Fortunately, it's going out on the road. Who knows? Austin may be one of the places it stops.
Dun, 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 dun.
You never know. And then I sort of have there's another article in the New York Times, and we talked about this last week. And I know that all of you faithfully listen to the show, so I don't have to go into details about what we talked about last week, but basically talking about how American theater is in trouble. Mm-hmm. Outside of Broadway, which is doing surprisingly well,
considering.
Big trouble. And again, so we talked about an article, I think, in American Theater Magazine last week. This week, there's an article in the New York Times. It's called A Crisis in American Theaters Leaves Prestigious Stages Dark. It's just talking about all the theaters out there that are either reducing their
staff,
shows,
their seasons. Programs.
It says costs are up. The government assistance that kept many theaters afloat during the height of the pandemic has mostly been spent. Audiences are smaller than they were before the pandemic. And, you know, they're talking about a lot of the reasons for the lack of people coming in. But one of them is, and we've talked about it, but I don't know if we've talked about it explicitly, is the broken habits based on the pandemic. So people aren't used to going to theater anymore, so they don't. So a lot of them are closing. There was something I wanted to, and then also the costs have risen significantly. It's funny. Oh my God.
You're important today, my friend.
It's my landlord of the theater. Uh-oh. So no, it's good news.
He should be listening to the show, don't you think?
Yeah. And this is one of the things they talk about, donor fatigue and the fact that foundations are shifting away from theater, which when you know, most of us that run nonprofits are getting money from individual donors is supposed to be the biggest part of the pie. Grants rarely help you with operating costs.
And
now some of those foundations and things like that have been helping keeping us afloat are saying, you know what, we're going to go more towards political or humanitarian causes versus the arts. And that makes me angry.
It does.
We were just talking about that.
You kind of need the arts for that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So say more about that, and then we have to move on.
Oh, I was just saying we were talking about that in the dressing room the other day. Just like, wouldn't it be great if instead of, you know, building spaceships or buying islands, these billionaires funded the arts.
Agreed. So let's take a little break, and we'll come back and talk to the Shrewds about what they came here for. From Here Lies Love is Dancing Together. We'll be right back.
Went to the house of Mary.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and
Nicole.
And we have here with us in the studio, we have the Shrewds production of Small Steps. And here we have the playwright, Brian Daniel Oglesby. Welcome.
Hi.
We have the director, Braxton Ray.
Hi.
We have the artistic director and one of the actors in this show, Shannon Grounds.
Hello.
And then we have several actors. We have Jen Brown.
Hi.
We have Trey Deason.
Hello.
We have Dane Parker.
Hello.
Brian, tell us about this show. What is it?
Well, it's a comedy, mostly a comedy, with elements of seriousness. It's it's about Skip Powers, who's played wonderfully by Dane here, who kind of gets sick of hookup apps and dating and the world in general. And he fires off an email to NASA, and they say, sure, you'll do. And they send him off to Mars. And so it's about dealing with the things that are that he has going on or that he is leaving behind, and then about isolation as he is moving through space. Is that about, what do you think about that, Braxton? Is that a good description?
Yeah, let's slide over to Braxton and say what you think and how you're approaching this as a piece, as a director.
Yeah, I think what Brian said is spot on, and I think the thing that has sort of drawn me to this piece is that it's fun and it's campy and you can have a good time and laugh and it's a delight. And at the same time, it really talks about this idea of loneliness and what does it mean to like operate in this world as a queer person, especially a queer person of color, when you go on these dating or hookup apps and you are not the most desirable person up there because you look different than what is expected. And what do you do when you get tired of that? And for this person, for Skip, it was, I'm going to leave the planet and go to Mars. So, like, let's do it. So.
Seems like a reasonable
of course.
Choice, right?
That is absolutely what I would do. And, Dane, you are the indomitable Skip.
Yes. And I totally, that exactly the idea of how do you just be over this? Like, a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be over this. Hey, he's got an idea at least. Let's go to Mars. Let's give that a shot.
Yeah. And you book a ticket on the next flight to Mars. Yeah. I would do that.
As one does.
Yeah, as one does. Exactly. I did it yesterday.
Do you take Apple Pay?
they do take Apple Pay. Shannon, as artistic director of the Shrewds, tell us why this play, why now?
Well, I've been wanting to produce this play for about, 3 years now, Brian? We had a planned production in 2021, as you well know, at Ground Floor Theater. That was unfortunately sidelined to rising COVID levels in Austin and a breakthrough infection in our cast. It got to the point where it just seemed too risky. But I started getting really, really interested in it. I was already interested in it before the pandemic. Once the pandemic hit, I was like, wow, this just, I think, will resonate with so many people, this idea of isolation and trying to stay connected in this disconnected world and all the different ways people were attempting to stay connected when we couldn't physically be together. But I kind of feel like it's even more resonant now. Yeah. You know, the Surgeon General released a report that there's an epidemic of loneliness in the United States. And, you know, I think there's really something in this play that anybody can relate to. I spoke to so many actors that came to auditions because they read the script and were like, oh my gosh, I love this. I so relate to this. You know, I want to audition for this. So
that's cool.
Great. And you are also in it.
I am also in it.
Tell us about the role you play.
All of the ensemble members, everybody who is not Dane, who is our Skip, mm-hmm. play multiple roles.
Oh, okay. That's always fun.
So I play the NASA principal, Dr. Darla, Devin, and the lady in the VR bar.
Ah, I love the VR bar. I was at the VR bar last night.
The VR bar.
I was there.
You spend a lot of time there, Lisa.
Okay.
We're going to have to start to worry.
Jen, tell me about some of the characters that you play.
I have the absolute privilege to play the overall voiceover in the show, which is pre-recorded, but gave me a chance to bust out my Vivian Pickles.
I don't know who that is, but I'm going to say okay.
Which was wonderful, and everyone really responded to her when I was like, what if I do this? And they're like, oh, did you create that character? And I was like, oh, if only. Mm-hmm. No. This is a wonderful, wonderful actress from my favorite movie. And then I also play the role of Lucy, the abstinence coach. And
which everyone should have.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll
you
see.
You might need it for a trip to Mars.
You might change your mind when you know more about them. And I also play the ship Atlantis and a
you're
waitress.
Playing a ship. Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yep. Amazing. And Trey? What about you?
So I play a few roles. I play my main role, I think, is Chad, which is, of course,
Chad.
It's named Chad.
My mind has painted many pictures
Chad,
already.
Chad works at NASA. He's the spaceship educator. He's kind of a tech bro in many ways. But he kind of gets a connection with Skip, I think. Then also, I play the toady. For the NASA principal, who's just like a yes man. It's just a fun little farcical character. And then I also play... I play Boyd, who is a one-night stand that Skip has.
Oh, my.
Boyd.
Well, y'all are prepared to do a little scene for us, are you not?
That is correct.
Yes.
Who wants to set that up for us?
So this scene is right after the opening. The world of the audience has been introduced to the mission, which is that there will be a mission to Mars. We're going to send one lonely astronaut from Earth to Mars to join the planets. And it opens with this sort of planetarium show with our actors holding planets, spinning around to help set the scene as Lucy delivers this, and we are at the National Association of Space Astronauts, or NASA.
Of course. Well, this is Dane Parker, Jen Brown, Trey Deason, and Shannon Grounds doing a scene from Shrewd Productions' Small Steps.
You ready?
Sure, yeah.
Most of the applicants were Top Gun fighter pilots, you know, real man's men with gonads they had to carry around in a suitcase. You're different. I like you.
I like you, too.
Oh, they really cheese me off, suitcase gonads. Tuck your shirt in, fix your collar, and good luck.
When I realize no one will ever love me, I volunteer to go to Mars, and holy crap, they gave me an interview.
It's your name.
Skip Powers.
Floated right to the top of the pile, Skip Powers.
Skip Powers?
That's me.
That's a name fit to represent the National Association of Space Astronauts.
That's NASA.
I'm a hard worker.
It's a name fit to represent America.
America?
America is awesome.
So I'm being interviewed by the principal of NASA. The principal. I think she likes me.
We're talking marketing potential, Skip. Oh, Skip Powers action figures, video games, collectible ashtrays, fan-written erotica. Skip Powers, God, that is a name for the history books.
A name that lives on.
We had dozens of applicants. Errol, Carl, Leonard. Those are not astronaut names.
Nope.
We had a Duke and a Trey, but they didn't get along with Lucy, my secretary.
Oh, we bonded. I don't have suitcase gonads.
The art of Astronautica requires diplomacy. What happens if you offend some mucus-dripping E.T. because he has penis fingers and eats crappy candy?
I don't know.
War!
War!
War is bad.
You start a space war, and pretty soon, humanity is playing host to chest-bursting crustaceans and eating their pets to survive.
Well, I work well with others.
And what about your family?
Excuse me?
Your family? People connected to you via shared genes or legalities?
No, I know what family means.
Do you? Do you really?
Yes?
You're not our first choice. You know, and the ones we liked better than you, we sat them down and we said, Colt, Chevy, Worf.
Oh.
I know. It is a one-way trip. What Will you tell your families? And they all got cold feet.
I see toes.
We're not really close. I mean, yeah, we see each other every Christmas. I bring salad that nobody eats.
It's tabbouleh.
So you're an exile. A lone iceberg, like an abandoned deer adopted by a postpartum dog. Sad.
Abandoned deer, very sad.
NASA could be your dog mother.
I mean, I'm internet friends with my family. See? Going to Mars, maybe. Tia Doreen liked my status. Tia Doreen likes all my statuses, but the family, we're not... The only thing they care about is if you make a baby.
Have you seen your cousin's new boy, Izios Mio? Here are 14 pictures, and if you don't like them, I'll get huffy about it.
And that doesn't interest you.
Well, my cousin just had another kid, and it's, you know... ugly.
All babies are cute, Skip.
All evidence to the contrary, Tia D.
How dare you? This one is a Pisces like you.
I really want to get away from this world.
7 billion people. And somehow it's a miracle when there's one more.
These guys get it.
So.
You're not planning on breeding?
Nah. Hella gay.
Amazing. That's so much fun. The pacing on this is great. Unfortunately, we are clear out of time. First of all, is this? Do I bring my kids to this, or is this PG-13?
No.
Okay, so PG-13?
NC-16?
Okay. PG-16. And you're performing this at Hyde Park?
Yep, Hyde Park okay. Theater.
When you've already opened. You had a wonderful review in the Chronicle.
Yeah.
When do you close?
We close August 12th.
August 12th, right around the corner. So folks can get their tickets and get information where?
They can get those at shrewdproductions.org.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Wonderful. Well, that was Shannon Grounds, Braxton Ray, Brian Daniel Oglesby, Jen Brown, Trey Parker, and Trey Deason, all of Shrewd Productions' production of Small Steps, playing at the Hyde Park through August 12th. For more information, shrewdproductions.org. And we'll be right back after we listen to Walking in Space.
My body is walking in space.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We are here.
We are here. We have a jam-packed show today.
We do.
And we're going to get right to our next guest. I was very happy to hear the name of Stage Presence Players because they've been kind of silent for a while, but they're back.
I know. It's
and,
exciting.
You know, well, we'll talk about it a little bit, but they've got a show, Gruesome Playground Injuries. And from that, we have the director, Andrea Littlefield. Hi.
Hey.
And we have two of the actors, Bethany Watkin.
Hello.
And Michael Lovestrange.
Hello.
Hello. How are y'all?
Hello. Hello.
Andrea, tell us about this show.
Sure. So I would consider this a passion project for Bethany, Michael, and I. I shared the script with Bethany back in December, and she was hooked and then handed it to Michael, and they were both like, we have to do the show. And so we've been practicing and talking it through and doing things since December.
Okay.
And finally, Stage Presence Players said they would promote it and produce it for us.
Oh, wonderful.
That's fantastic.
So we're really excited.
So tell us about the show. What is it?
Show.
Sounds gruesome.
Well, sort
Might
of.
Might be injuries.
Lots of injuries, though. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
So it basically follows two people from the age of 8 when they meet in the nurse's office to the age of 38. And it chronicles their injuries throughout their life, whether they be physical injuries or internal injuries. And the way the author does it, he jumps back and forth between times. So he'll jump ahead like 10 years and jump back 5 years.
Okay.
And the other thing that's unusual about this play is that their costume and makeup changes are done on stage.
So oh, interesting.
That is interesting.
Sense of the time flowing and changing. And it's just a really, they're really cool little vignettes that happen, the 8 scenes that happen throughout the show.
Okay.
Interesting.
And it bops all through time. So Bethany, tell us about your character.
Okay, her name is Kayleen, and she is initially in the nurse's office with a stomach ache, but has a lot more kind of emotional injuries throughout the play than actual physical ones. She befriends Dougie in the nurse's office at 8 and just kind of has a very interesting relationship with him throughout their whole life. So it's kind of, I don't want to say in love, but sort of a very unusual kind of love. So it's kind
right.
Of
cool. So yeah, there's lots of different
it's
ways to have
a love.
Story.
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely. Michael, tell us about your character.
Yeah. So Doug, he is a person who he looks for love and acceptance in very broken ways. And it happens to come through in physical injuries. So it makes his relationship with Kayleen very interesting. And I think what stands out is no matter how broken their relationship is, you always find these little pieces of hope and love in each scene that are really nice to see, no matter how bad it gets for them.
So you mentioned vignettes. It's done as a series of vignettes.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that the order is important in these vignettes. And do we jump back and forth from time, or are we linear?
We do. We jump back and forth. So we start at age 8, and then we jump ahead to age 23, and then we jump back to 13, and so it keeps doing that. So you get
all over the map.
And how would
you get little snippets each place and little clues of what's going on with their life?
And would you call this a comedy, a dark comedy,
it's a
drama?
Dark comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
Well, no, dark.
No, I knew what you were saying. I just wanted to make it a dark comedy.
It's definitely a dark comedy. I think people will be laughing and crying. And it's definitely for adults. There's a lot of swearing.
Oh, okay. Swearing is very popular these days.
Yes.
And where are y'all performing this?
We are performing this at Zach North in Cedar Park.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's Austin Cedar Park, but it's right up near Lakeline Mall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they usually use that.
I go there all the time, at least once every 5 years.
Okay. Then you know where it is.
Well, my passport isn't in order, so I can't get up there too often. So Zach North is up there. And it's primarily, do they do a lot of performances there, or is
the
it mostly the school?
It's mostly for mm-hmm. classes. So they have a very small stage set up. It's perfect for this production. Uh-huh. It's a little black box.
It's a great
theater.
Little space.
Absolutely.
Have you seen it, mm-hmm. Nicole?
I have.
You are so cool.
I have.
I have not. And are you? When have you opened?
We have. Okay. Last weekend we opened, and so we're going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and this weekend.
How's it going?
It's going great.
That's awesome.
Audiences have loved it. It's very different from normal things that they've seen around here. Go ahead.
No, I'm not agreeing with you. No. And
what was your? How? Tell us about your approach as you approached it as a director. How were you looking at this piece?
So I'm not necessarily an intimacy coach, but there's a lot of stuff that comes up in the show, and we all have our own baggage. So as we're going through it, a lot of that stuff comes up. So we took a lot of time to just talk through everything and talk through the emotions that they were having about each thing. I think Michael can talk a little bit about some of the things that he thought of as we were going through it.
I can. I.
You will. It was you can deep. And you will.
It was a very deep cathartic experience. I mean, it really does touch the whole spectrum of emotion. It's a pretty fascinating play. And when you really dig into those characters, it does get into your head. I have become physically, catastrophically klutzy over the last month or so. As the show is open, I have bruises all over me that are just character ads now, I guess. So, yeah, it's been interesting to get into Doug's head.
It is interesting because every time he comes in to start, he's got a new bruise or
something. Oh, good.
We have 3 days without injury so far, so I'm pretty hopeful.
Congratulations. Do you have a little sign up there in the green room?
I post every day, yeah.
Well, that's amazing. I want to talk a little bit about Stage Presence Players that was started by Christy Treitler ages ago, who unfortunately passed away. And Bethany, you're carrying on the legacy, are you not?
Well, Denise Garza, she's the president and the artistic director, so she's the one kind of in charge.
Awesome. So is this, so I know that, I think there was a show right after Christy passed, but has there been many? I have not heard from y'all.
Right. So kind of decided whether we're going to go on or not, or carry on.
Yeah.
Getting funding as well and trying to find a space is always an issue in and around Austin. But Denise is like located in Hutto/Pflugerville area. So she's been looking for the last year on to have kind of a permanent space. So that's sort of been the goal. But we're kind of doing one a year to try kind of build
That's
up.
Great, though.
Yeah, I know. I was very happy to see that.
Me too, because I've been bummed out about it. We've talked about it a few times.
Yeah.
So. And Christy was a really amazing person. And to have it shut down, it would not be.
Do y'all know what you're going to be doing next year?
Nope.
Okay. We like to have scoops here on offstage and on air.
She's scooping it all.
I thought I'd scoop it.
I'll let you know as soon as I do.
Yeah. I know. I don't want to put you on the whatever
spot.
Thank you. That's the word I was trying to come up with. Because we didn't talk about this ahead of time. Do y'all have a little scene that you wanted to do?
They do.
We could. Yeah.
Cool. Sure. Let's set it up and we'll do it.
So this is the first time that we meet Kayleen and Dougie, and we meet them in the nurse's office. So I'll let them go ahead and do it.
Okay, so this is Bethany Watkin and Michael Lovestrange doing a scene from Stage Present Players' Gruesome Playground Injuries.
What happened to your head?
I fell.
Why?
I don't know.
Does it hurt?
A little.
I have a stomach ache. I have a sensitive stomach. My mom says it's because I have bad thoughts.
Like what?
Bad thoughts.
Like about Dracula?
About stomachs.
I have bad thoughts about Dracula.
Yeah?
Blood tastes funny. It tastes like fruit.
No, it doesn't.
Have you ever cut your face open?
No.
I get cut all the time by accident.
The nurse's office is dark and quiet.
I had a stomach ache when I went and saw the movies.
I like the movies, except when you come out and there's the sun.
I had 3 Big Cokes and I had gummy worms. I like to swallow them like the real worms.
Why is there so much blood?
Because I fell.
Why'd you fall?
I was playing Evel Knievel.
What's Evel Knievel?
He's a motorcycle guy. That's how I broke my face.
You didn't break your face. It's just cut.
Sister Mary Pett said I broke my face.
Did it hurt?
Well, one time I went ice skating with my brothers and I fell on the ice and this girl skated by me and her ice skate cut my eyelid open and I was bleeding out of my eye. I couldn't see because of all the blood.
Did it hurt?
No, because the eyelid is small, even though there is a lot of blood. I have a scar on my eye now. Girls don't get scars.
Yes, we do.
How come?
If you rode your bike off the roof, how did you get your bike on the roof?
I climbed up a tree.
You took the bike with you up a tree?
Yeah.
Why?
So I could ride it off the roof.
And then you rode it off the roof?
Yeah.
You're stupid.
I am not.
Yeah, you are.
Shut up.
You shut up.
Okay, amazing. I had that same conversation with somebody yesterday. Well, that's so much fun. We are plumb out of time. Tell us, we know you're already open. When do you close?
We close on Sunday. So we
this coming Sunday?
Yes. Okay. We have a show Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon.
Okay, and where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to Brown Paper Tickets, and our event number is 605-0743. Okay.
You can also go to stagepresenceplayers.com and get the information there. Well, thank y'all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for being on. That was fun.
Thank you. Very much. Thank you.
Wonderful. That was Andrea Littlefield, Bethany Watkin, and Michael Lovestrange with Stage Presence Players' Gruesome Playground Injuries, playing now through this coming Sunday at Zach North. For more information, stagepresenceplayers.com. And this is from Mean Girls, and it's called Someone Gets Hurt.
It's fun.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Nicole and Lisa.
I should probably give credit to my phone, who's been very present on this.
You are popular today.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah, they wanted me. We actually have zero time to talk about local stuff. I'm going to go through the list that I did hastily earlier, and then we're going to do Today in Theater History and move on.
Okay.
All right. That's what I run a tight ship.
You are running.
Before we do that, let me introduce our new studio audience. We just keep changing here. We have Shannon Embry. Welcome back, Shannon.
Thank you.
And Jill Klopp Turner.
Howdy.
Howdy. That's a very Texas way of saying hello. Thank you very much. Okay. We have Lizzie the Musical still going on. It plays through the 14th. Oh, sorry, plays through the 30th. The 14th has already happened.
Yeah, that already happened.
Yep.
That's his
That's Dr. Mista over at Austin Playhouse. We had them on the show last week. The memo or the memorandum is at the Vortex. So that's part of Vortex Summer Youth, plays through the 29th. Matilda is over at Zilker through the 12th. We just heard from Small Steps. They're here to the 12th. Summerstock Austin has The Wizard of Oz and Grease through the 12th. More information at impactarts.org. We're just about to talk to them. Beyond August Productions, their production of God of Carnage plays through the 13th at the Rosette.
Summerstock's through the 6th.
All right. Well, look, go to Impact. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Because it was, yeah. I think that was Greece, and then Wizard of Oz is a different date. So just go to the website and figure it out, for God's sake.
ImpactArts.org.
Magnolia Musical Theater, our new theater company, and will be our only guest next week as Beauty and the Beast, out in Bee Cave, placed through August 13th. And City Theater is doing Romeo and Juliet. I hope she lives at the end this time.
I know.
I get really angry.
I get anticipation every time.
And we're just going to jump right into today in theater history, or we're not going to have time for our guests. And I'm just going to run into it. We have a bunch of birthdays. Helen Mirren.
Oh, hello.
Luba Mason. I don't know who that is, but I like the way she looked. Darlene Love. Hold on. I've got to click down. Jason Robards Jr.
Oh.
He was born in 1922. Somebody named George Bernard Shaw.
Who is that?
I don't know. I think if he works at it, he may go somewhere.
He may.
Santo Loquasto. And opening on this day in 2019 was Manilow on Broadway. I like Barry Manilow.
Who doesn't love you?
Sorry.
You're a lot of fan of Low.
I'm a fan of Low.
That's okay.
And also in 2018, a mere year before that, opened was Head Over Heels.
Oh, which that's the with the Go-Go's, and that's happening up here soon. With a Go-Go. Yesterday was my brother's birthday.
Oh, happy anniversary, Casey.
Happy birthday, Casey.
Let's take a little break. We're going to list a little bit of Head Over.
He wants to be a guest next time when we come back from our next shows. He already said
if
that.
You ever come back. Okay. I would love. Casey has an open invitation.
Yeah,
to
he
come
said,
here.
I want to come on. I was like, I'm sure Lisa will let you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I'm with Casey, it's like heaven is a place on earth.
They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth.
It's the Go-Go's here on Offstage and on the Air with Elisa and Nicole.
Hello. That song technically is Belinda Carlisle.
That's true. Well, you know everything.
Not the Go-Go's, but I have still a very good musical. There's
a good friend of mine was, I think when Belinda Carlisle, I may have this wrong, but there were auditions, you know, because that the Go-Go's was one of those bands that was created by somebody else, typically a white man, and they had auditions to replace her, and my friend Sarah auditioned.
Oh,
that's the end of the story. Yeah. That was probably the quickest local section we've ever done.
That was like auctioneer style.
Yep. Okay, but because we needed to get to Beyond August Productions.
Let's get there.
Let me just tell y'all something.
What?
Here in Austin, Texas, I would like it to be Beyond August.
I would agree with you on
my
that.
My Lord.
Amen.
But from Beyond August Productions, we have, even though I just introduced you, I'm going to do it again. But I'm going to do it in the other order. I'm going to do it opposite order just to throw everybody some loop. Jill Klopp-Durner, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And Shannon Embry, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you.
Bunch of seasoned offstage and on the air.
We like the veterans
So y'all
on.
Are doing God of Carnage. Which is an amazing piece that I've never seen, but I know a lot about. Tell us about it. Somebody, one of you.
Sure. So the show was originally produced in, written in French by Yasmina Ariza, and it was translated by Christopher Hampton. So premiered on the West End in 2006. And then the first Broadway premiere was the following year, and that included James Gandolfini.
Amazing
cast. Yeah, really great cast, I think.
Crazy awesome cast.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels, Hope Davis, and Marcia Gay Harden. Mm. And it won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best Play that year, too. There was a film adaptation in 2011 just called Carnage. But I have read that it is the third longest running, or I guess most produced play of the 2000s so far, after 39 Steps and August Osage County.
That's kind of crazy. But you know what? That makes sense. I think we made a comment that it's probably up there at some point a few years ago.
I'm going to say yes.
I think we had this conversation.
I'm going to say yes.
Sorry, something's in my eye.
Think of Lord of the Flies, but a comedy with parents.
Right. So, I mean, this is two sets of parents that are talking about a playground incident. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do I have the right show?
We're back to the playground.
As I said that out loud, I'm thinking, I hope I have the right show in mind.
You got
it. And it's like, you know, sort of parents trying to do the right thing, but getting really nasty about it, right?
That's right.
Social
niceties. Okay, well, thanks for being on the show.
Social niceties melt away throughout the hour and a half scene. It's just one scene.
No.
It's a long scene.
And it's a scene. And that
it's a scene. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so this is part of Beyond August Productions, and the two of you are the main people of that. Is that correct?
Yeah. And along with our producing partner, Robin Connor, who is also the director of the show.
Oh, amazing.
All right. Fantastic.
Robin with a Y.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
I like Robin
my
with
sister's
a Y.
Well, my sister is Robin with an I, and so I'm partial to that.
Yes. I like Robin with a Y just as much.
Well, okay. That's you. Let's see. We're not going to leave these airways till we figure this out. So
I can see you on the playground.
Why is Beyond August Productions doing this show right now?
Well, we were actually planning to do it in October of last year.
Okay.
But we heard another theater company pals, not in Austin, but I don't remember which one, but someone else was doing it nearby around the same time. But we chose it specifically because we really find it to be subtly complex, which is kind of the stuff we like to do. Our wheelhouse is like kind of fast-paced, dark comedy with dynamic cast. We love to do ensemble stuff.
Yep.
So it kind of fell into that category. And the more we dug into the script, and we had a lot longer than we thought we were going to with it, with our, you know, our pause, we just thought, this is just too juicy. We've got to do it. And it's been a lot of fun learning about all the people.
So this show is relatively heavy, but I'm assuming there's a lot of light moments in it and enjoyable for those people that like the lighter fare as well.
Absolutely. That was one of our goals, was to keep it punchy, kind of, and really for...
Punchy was my sorority name.
I was like, I love the word punchy. It doesn't get used enough.
There we go. Absolutely. That was kind of one of our main goals was to... There are four characters, and we wanted people to come in and think they know what they think about everyone, you know, seven or eight lines in, and then for that to constantly change. Everyone kind of sees themselves in each character, and the laughs are there to keep people, you know, almost they're pent up with something that they're thinking about, and then they laugh it out, and then now we're on to the next cycle of that. So it's a lot of fun.
Can I make the presumption that the two of you are playing the mothers in this show?
Right on.
Every now and then. So, Jill, can you tell us about your character and also tell us who's playing your counterpart?
Sure. My character's name is Veronica Novak. She is a writer. She writes about certain things in history that she finds fascinating. She has a book coming out about the Darfur tragedy, and she works in an art history bookshop as well. So she is very cerebral and keeps people at arm's length. And is very cagey, but doesn't think that she is. She's a very devoted mother, and it's kind of her kids can do no wrong syndrome.
Of course.
So it's a nice little foundation for a person that, you know, is going to think through a lot of stuff that's going on throughout the show. And my counterpart is Peter Young is playing Michael. He is kind of a yin to the yang of Veronica, and Peter plays it perfectly. I can't wait for you guys to see his performance. It's incredible.
Great. That was a lovely alliterative sentence.
It was.
And Shannon, tell us about your character and your counterpart.
I play Annette Raleigh. I play opposite Chuck Winkler in the show. It's my husband, Alan. I am a wealth management executive living very much in the rat race of the tri-state area. We're in Brooklyn. I have a lot of anxiety. I'm also just kind of mindlessly going through life. I have not a lot of attention from my husband. I've got a lot of pressures at home, and I show up at Veronica's house really just wanting to make this go away and make it right. But as we see throughout the show, I have a lot of inner demons and a lot of difficulty in processing my emotions.
So, wonderful. Yeah. Well, in our last few minutes, I know you have a little scene, right? A short scene.
Sure.
Very short.
So do you need to set it up at all?
No, really, the whole play is these parents trying to solve this issue and failing continuously.
So this is Shannon Embry and Jill Klopp-Durner doing a scene from Beyond August Productions' show, God of Carnage.
I see you're a great art lover.
Art, photographs, to some extent, it's my job.
I adore bacon.
Ah, yes, bacon.
Cruelty, majesty,
chaos, balance.
That's right.
Does Benjamin enjoy art?
Not as much as he should. What about your children?
We try. We try to fill in the gaps of the education system.
Yes.
We try to make them read. We take them to concerts and exhibits. And we're just eccentric enough to believe in the soothing powers of culture.
And you're right.
That was a short scene. You caught me doing some other stuff. Okay, we are absolutely out of time. You've already opened.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you play through when?
August 13th.
And you are where? You're at the theater that's kind of new.
Yeah, we're at the Rosette Theater in Hyde Park in the Baker Center.
Yep.
We have partnered with Austin Classical Guitar and made the spot into a really beautiful, fun, hip, great place to go see a show, and it's a really fun night out.
Amazing.
Really.
Amazing. And where can folks go to get more information?
BeyondAugustProductions.org.
Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being on.
I did not have Nicole's
microphone off. I got in trouble.
I did not do that on
purpose.
Time
out.
Anyway, that was Shannon Embry and Jill Klopp Turner of Beyond August Productions show, God of Carnage, playing now through August 13th at the Rosette Theater. For more information, beyondaugustproductions.org. And this is called Mothers from Miss You Like Hell from the New York Shakespeare Festival.
Mothers will make you eat your greens. Mothers bring you midnight snacks. Mothers teach you where you're from. Mothers love you where you're at.
Tolerate the combat boots.
Help you walk in heels.
We are back. We just have time to say goodbye.
To say adios.
So will you be here next week?
I will not.
Oh, no.
I know.
Well, we'll miss you next week.
I was
going
to tell you all this when we were on air, but you know we like to show the sausage.
Okay, so we'll have another wonderful co-host.
Guest co-host.
And you know what? That's it. And with the song we're going to play as we go out is Mothers, because I didn't put the last song that I wanted to do, which was called Welcome Back, which I was going to do for you.
Yeah, I know.
I'll wait till you come back.
Wait for it's for real.
And then next up is the Austin Cooperative Hour. This week it's Lights, Camera, Austin with Robert Sims. We will see y'all next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We'll make you eat your greens. Mothers bring you midnight snacks. Mothers teach you where you're from. Mothers love you where you're at.
Tolerate.